The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
From the gallows and I levitate down your street. Crash the party like a record scratch as I scream. Who's afraid of little old me? You should be.
Hello, welcome to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica.
And this is Shay Stevens.
Ashley, are you there?
I am. I'm Ashley Winters.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice on here.
Nice to hear yours, too. It's been a long time in coming.
It has. So, welcome, everybody, to our very first show. We're excited for you to join us tonight, and please forgive us in advance for all of our shortcomings, because we are all trying a new thing, and we expect for there to be lots of bumps and bruises along the way. Tonight, we're going to start off by just introducing ourselves a little bit and introducing our show and telling you a little bit about how Shasta Unmasked came to be and tell you a little bit about how the structure of our show will go moving forward. So this is kind of a special show, our introductory, if you will. Like I said, my name is Jessica French. I am a mom. I am a citizen of Shasta County. I've lived here since 1999. My great-grandfather moved here from Oklahoma to help build the Shasta Dam. And then my grandparents moved to Arcata, where they spent a lot of their lives in the logging industry. My grandfather owned a logging business and then moved over here with a lot of the old-time loggers from Arcata to Shasta County. And then I spent summers here as a child and got to know the blazing heat and the fun nature and all of that. And then when I was 17, my mom up and moved us here back to Reading to be closer to my grandparents. So that's how I got here. I've been here and decided to raise my family here. So that is my vested interest in this community. Shay?
Hi, I'm Shay Stevens. I'm a local teacher, a lifelong Shasta County resident. My family came here from all over the place, but both my grandfathers are veterans. My father was a military veteran. My father was also the president of his union working in the medical field, and that's kind of where I got my start in labor advocacy. So that's why I'm here.
Ashley?
Well, again, thank you for having me on this great brand new show. My name is Ashley Winters. I first came to Shasta County, or the area itself, in 1984. I moved up there officially in 1987. I was was the first graduating class of the brand new Evergreen School when they opened up the second half of it down at the bottom next to Bowman Road. Graduated from Red Bluff High School in 1998, and then moved away for a while. Came back in 2008, started a family. My family owns businesses there in Cottonwood. My cousin works in healthcare in Reading proper. And I have a lot of friends and family and time and emotions invested in Shasta County. I'm also a independent podcaster with a friend of mine, and we've been following Shasta County politics for at least three solid years. I've had a lot of friends involved in local politics and have made so many more people that I admire that are just dyed-in-the-wool Shasta County residents that care about the community, and it's been very educational watching the area become newsworthy in the last 3 or so years. And I'm very, very glad that now we can all come together and give a voice to the people who don't know where to find all of the information that they need in order to be well-armed in the war of misinformation and politics and just general life in the area. So
right. So that's kind of how we got started with this idea of starting a radio show. It actually began as a desire to create a platform that gave a space for people to talk about what is going on in our county, because what we were recognizing is that for the people that were more moderate, you know, not all the way extreme right, not all the way left, we all were feeling the same things. We were all frustrated with the way that our county was moving. We were frustrated with a lot of the political things that have been happening. And we would talk about it to each other on the phone. We would be texting about it. There was a lot of fear surrounding conversations. People didn't want to talk about how they really felt out of fear of being retaliated against and things like that. And Shay and I are kind of brave people, I think. And we were a couple of the people that were just talking, and neither of us gave much thought to, you know, it affecting our jobs and things like that. And so we thought we should start a podcast. And so months ago, Shay and I we came up with Shasta Unmasked, and we created it and did all the branding and everything. And then we put it on the back burner because
there were so many things going on that we had, so many fires to put out. We had to wait.
Yeah. So we waited. We put it on the back burner, and then suddenly, in the midst of all the current chaos that's going on, we heard there was a radio show opening here, and we decided to talk to Carl and see if he would like kind of a different show than he's used to on a station, and we were very pleased that he was accepting.
Absolutely. Ashley, what was it like? Can you talk a little bit about leaving and coming back to Shasta County?
Yeah, it definitely was not the same place that I remembered growing up. And I don't think that it's not like any such a sudden change. It was just, there was a lot more people, and the focus of the area seemed to kind of turn. I remember whenever it was, you know, you go to Shasta County and you talk about Redding, and it's where people went and rented houseboats during the summer and played on Whiskeytown Lake and went to the rivers and the lakes and hiked up Mount Shasta and did the Mount Lassen thing. It was very recreational, very very outdoorsy. And now whenever you, like even back then in 2008, the homelessness issue and the mental health issues kind of started overweighing all of the positive things that had to do with Shasta County, because it was all cast in such a negative light. It was like, oh, you're going to Redding, make sure that you lock all your doors and your cars and you make sure, you know, it was very negative, and I didn't like that. I thought that, oh, well, maybe, you know, Shasta County would be doing more to alleviate those issues since it is such a remote area. They would have, like, an idea of how important it would be to take care of those most vulnerable in this. And also, when it's such an extreme environment where it's so hot in the summer, so cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. And as I lived up there, the last time that I lived up there was about, I lived there for about 10 years. And that was in Redding proper. And just living in the area and working in the area, there's so many people who are so busy that they don't have time to be really well informed about all of every single little intricacy that goes on in Shasta County government that has to do with those issues. All they knew is that they existed, and it seemed like they were being ignored.
Yeah, and I think living here my whole life, it's like being that frog in a boiling pot as it gets hotter and hotter. And then, because mm-hmm. when you're so close to it, you sometimes don't see all the things that are happening around you. You're just living mm-hmm. it every day. And then I really feel like when COVID happened, like we all realized that we were in this boiling pot. frog was in the boiling pot.
Yeah, it took a really big turn. And then, you know, you started getting stories and things picked up on the national news. And it was like, why is there no pushback to all of these very well-known misinformation and disinformation campaigns, mm-hmm. and that nobody is counterbalancing all of these points with, and that's one reason why just everything became, I think, so sensationalized, is because we were so flabbergasted that this was actually things that were being taken seriously that we didn't really know what to say at the time.
Yeah, it's like journalism back in the day, there was structure to it, and there was vetting. And now with social media, it's just a free-for-all. It's anything goes.
Right.
And when
right.
anything
and
goes, it's literally anything.
Right, and it's and you see this come forward a lot in the board of supervisors meetings and things too. Whenever before the projector broke, that the people would come up and they would just have a video on their phone or just something that some other information that somebody else had collected that you just have to take on blind faith and trust that they've done their own research and that what they're saying is true, and you're passing this information off to other people who may not go and look into it for themselves and see, why people are saying this, who is benefiting from it, and what agenda is being pushed. And, and the other side says the same thing. It's just like, there's an agenda attached, strings attached. They use, different phrases, but it's all the same language.
Exactly. We have to take a break, so I'm going to have to stop you right there. But I know this is our first time it went so fast, but we have to take a break. We will be right back, and we'll jump back on here.
Sounds great.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world: family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
June 8th is your chance to support our veterans. Join Simpson University, Dr. Paul Danuka, and Josh Barker Real Estate for the Simpson Veteran Success Center Fundraising Gala, featuring John Bartis, founder and chairman of Higher Heroes. You'll be moved by the real stories of Johnny, Ruby, Jess, and Julia. Go to the SimpsonU.edu events page to become a sponsor or reserve your table now. That's SimpsonU.edu/events.
Okay, you guys, we are back. Oh, my gosh, that was the quickest 15 minutes of my life in that first session. So go ahead, Shay, because you had a really good thought.
Oh, yeah. Ashley, you said, who does this misinformation benefit? And I think that is important, but also, more importantly, who does it hurt? Who is being damaged in the misinformation?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the part that we really want to focus on, is that, I think a lot of times people, especially when they're really heated about something or they have really strong opinions about something, they will spew whatever they, watched on YouTube or whatever meme they read or say, you know, even horrible personal things to people. I've seen it happen at the Board of Supervisors meetings and in our school board meetings. And when they change policies based on those memes, based on those YouTube videos, based on conspiracy theories, that's when we have a problem.
Right. And I'm going to guess that the majority of people do not want to hurt people. I'm going to guess that. The majority of us want to feel seen. We want to be heard. We want to be able to discuss our differences politely and kindly. And we don't want to hurt other people. There are some people that I think do enjoy this. And those are the people we're talking about when we talk about extremism in this county. We also want to talk about a little bit about the structure of our show, because this is an introduction meeting and or a show, and so we want to talk about how we anticipate what our vision is for the show. So do you have good notes there, Shay?
Do I have notes?
Do you have good notes?
Let's
there?
See. Yeah, a little bit. So we're going to do some recap of public meetings, sharing our perspective and opinions, and we're going to try to really do some research before we sit down so that we can dispel some of the misinformation.
Right. And I think because between all of us, I'm pretty sure we attend almost every public meeting that exists.
Yeah,
so
if not in attendance, we're watching it on Zoom or whatever.
Yes, close, very close.
Mm-hmm. And then we hope to have live guests that are experts in their field or directly affected by extremism and the policies that follow that.
Yes, we have a list already. So if you're listening and you want to become a guest on our show, please just message us on Facebook, or you can email us at ShastaUnmasked@gmail.com. And we will make a time for you to come on the show and be our guest and talk about you know, whether you're an expert in your field or if you're someone that extremism impacts. We'd be happy to have you on the show to talk about it. We do have about 20 people on our list already, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I was actually shocked at how many people, as soon as they found out what we were doing, how many people reached out and want to be on the show. It's exciting.
Yeah. So what was the next thing?
And then the last thing would be taking calls. So the last 15 minutes of the show will take open calls, and you want to talk a little bit about the structure of those calls and what we don't want to see in
sure.
those calls.
Yeah. So I mean, most of us can assume the general nuances of what we would expect. We expect no cussing, no yelling, to have conversation that is you know,
productive.
Yeah,
respectful.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you're calling to actually talk about something that's important, that's great, but no cussing. And please don't call and be mean to the production lady, because she's so sweet. So she doesn't need to hear any mean stuff.
Yeah, and come with facts. Don't come with conspiracy and then tell us to do our own research.
Yeah, our platform is for exposing extremism, not promoting it. So let's discuss facts and solutions.
Yeah. All right, so getting into that, you guys want to hit on a hot topic. What happened at the Board of Supervisors meeting today?
Oh, my gosh. Throw that one on me, Shay. Go. So, I was at the Board of Supervisors meeting today. It was a very, very long day. Actually, it may still be going. I don't know.
Is it still going?
See? I had to leave because we had to come do this show, and my children needed some food, so I had to go home and then run over here. Oh my goodness. So to me, the hot topic of the meeting was R5, consider options related to the vacancy of the county clerk, registrar of voters position, and consider providing direction to staff. Basically, they were discussing, because Kathy Darlene Allen retired, so now her position is vacant, and currently Joanna Friend Siskit, I'm going to say her name correctly, is the, what do they call her? Not assistant, but associate, is it?
Deputy.
Deputy. Registrar of voters. And so we watched a presentation about the options of what to do. The options basically were to appoint Joanna or someone with qualifications that they could just simply appoint, or to go on a hiring spree and look for qualified candidates. Obviously, for me personally, Joanna is extremely qualified. She's the best candidate. She's just an amazing human being, and I think she should be appointed. She's done nothing to deserve not to be appointed, and everything that she's done has earned her that right to move on in that position. I think she should be rewarded for her great job at the county, and she should be given it. And I think it would be an amazing opportunity for that board to come together, because they could simply say, this is the right thing to do. That's my opinion on the matter. But ultimately, they decided to recruit candidates. One question I had was Chair Cry said at one point that he already had 6 or 7 applicants. I'm curious how he has applicants when there has not even been a job announcement.
Yes.
So that was sus.
And somebody said if you open it up to everyone without any specific qualifications that literally a barista could qualify for the job.
No offense to baristas.
Right. No offense to baristas.
I love the baristas. But basically the point was that, you know, you need to have some qualifications, don't you think? And so they were trying to implement some basic qualifications on the job description so that they didn't have a flood of unqualified people. But in the end, there was a short time when Chair Cry first said he literally said he wasn't comfortable with the CEO, and who was the other person? Were you watching, Ashley?
Yeah, it was the CEO and the other.
Oh my goodness,
other lady.
I'm forgetting her name, of course. But anyways, he didn't trust them to do the job of laying those foundational things, and he wanted to appoint himself and Tim Garman to an ad hoc committee to decide who should go through the first screening and who should not. And so
right. It's
just another example of mistrust with the staff that's really frustrating, because your job as a supervisor is not to micromanage everything.
Right, you have to trust the professionals, and that's the thing that seems to be missing at all of these board meetings. Is that
on every level,
yes, nobody trusts the professionals. And it's like, I don't know if that comes from this narrative of elitism or if it's just this constant barrage of misinformation that makes people not trust anybody now. Like, we're all looking to the left and to the right, and, you know, it must be a conspiracy. There has to be some conspiracy behind this.
I mean, I'm really interested to hear when we have callers later where they think the mistrust came from. I think that's a good conversation we could have with people, even people that believe different than us. Where do you think the mistrust came from? Personally, I think it came from COVID, from what people see as overreach of government. And so now all government officials, they don't trust.
Well, and they also saw that because there was no structure in rolling that out, because it was such a new, different,
right. Crazy
thing, that you could get your way by just stomping your feet. Mm-hmm. And there was really no democratic process that was happening. It was just like, I'm going to go scream and yell in someone's face and get my way. And clearly, we have government and we have a structure so that that doesn't happen. And it's taken a long time to get here.
Right. So R5 was the biggest deal. What else were we looking at?
Well, let's go back a week, because last week was fun.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you go back.
The passing of the, what did they call it? The, my mind is drawing a blank right now. The sanctuary.
Oh, right.
Being a non-sanctuary city.
The resolution.
The resolution.
Yeah, they wanted to pass the resolution to send to the, and I would have brought that with me if I would have thought we were talking about it. But
it's okay.
Anyways, so they did pass a resolution that said that we, our county, would essentially send any asylum seekers, and they called them something else that isn't actually legitimately the name.
Yeah.
And they repeatedly called asylum seekers illegal immigrants, which they are not. And so this is kind of a misinformation piece that I can dispel, because I know a lot about immigration. In my real job, I work with people from all over the world that come to the U.S., so I do know something about that. And what I can say is that...
Well, it's time for break.
What I could say is that we need a break.
Perfect.
So, let's touch on that when we get back. We'll talk about what illegal immigration is and is not when we come back.
Or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Taggart and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Hi, friends. Tobacco and Brew here with a new cigar of the humidor. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Straight from the estate of Don Pepin Garcia comes this excellently crafted cigar. Profound notes of nougat, leather, molasses and cedar please the palate throughout. La Aroma de Cuba Pasión. Be sure to get yours today. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hello, we are back, and we are talking about what is and what is not illegal immigration. So, at that Board of Supervisor meeting last week, they continued to refer to asylum seekers as illegal immigrants. And I just want to actually tell you what an asylum seeker is. So an asylum seeker is a person who has left their country and is seeking protection from persecution and serious human rights violation in another country, but who hasn't yet been legally recognized as a refugee and is waiting to receive a decision on their asylum case. So the way to present yourself as an asylum seeker is to go to the border of that country that you're seeking asylum in. So from Mexico, they have to come to the border to seek asylum. Also, Mexico is one of the entry ports for many countries, so you'll go there and you will see refugee or asylum seekers from all sorts of countries standing in line there waiting. Mm-hmm. That is not an illegal immigrant. Those people are seeking refuge in our country for a reason, and they are let in. They are given paperwork. They are, you know, dependent on various things. They are given... you know, temporary orders to work sometimes. They have to keep in touch with the government. That is how it works. Sheriff Johnson gave a presentation that day, which was very informative. But his presentation was very one-sided. It talked about, drug cartels, and it talked all about the negative components of asylum seekers, people that might be abusing the system, things like that. But what he failed to talk about was all of the asylum seekers that have a legitimate reason to be here.
Yeah, he also made some weird assumptions about asylum seekers, as if all of them would be wearing raggedy clothes or not having any possessions on them, because he kept making reference to these guys that are coming across with Nikes on their feet and holding cell phones.
Right, when in reality, I know quite a few Ukrainian refugees here that are in Reading that have more education than I do, that came here with iPhones and Nikes, because that was their life in their home country. People don't just leave their home country because they are broke. They leave their home country and seek asylum in this country because they're fleeing persecution, serious problems like war and things like that. So, yeah, it was pretty strange. It just shows the lack of knowledge that some people have about refugees and our immigration system in general.
Yeah, and again, when we talk about who does that hurt, who does that harm? It's not just harming those people in our community who are asylum seekers, which, you know, it harms them for sure, but also anybody who looks like they may be an asylum seeker. Like, they use that example of a bus with some Hispanic looking men who stopped, and someone had like a, I don't know, 15 second video and just made assumptions off that. So if you look that way and you come into our town and you have a sheriff who is saying things like this in public, that makes it a dangerous place for people to come into Shasta County. And I feel like that's how they want them to feel.
And if we look at this holistically, as far as like our whole county, it damages our whole county.
Mm-hmm.
We are dumbing down this county, for lack of better words. I'm sorry, but when you're spreading information like that to mm-hmm. say that our, you know, you're not teaching people reality, the reality that asylum seekers come to this country to flee war, that they're educated people, they're often, you know, come from lives and jobs and things like that. You're spreading this really false narrative that is dangerous, and that's how you're educating your people. Mm-hmm. You're teaching them that that's what asylum seekers are, that they're illegal immigrants, that they're all bad people doing these terrible things, and we're worse people for it, in
and
my opinion.
And they're coming to take our resources.
Yeah.
And I would like to just interject one thing, is that this whole thing with the video that had the bus on it mm-hmm. with the people that, you know, don't look the way that these people like people to look, we'll say, for lack of also a better term, or something that I don't want to get kicked off of the radio for.
Mm-hmm.
That whole line of thinking of, you know, illegal immigrants and asylum seekers being bused in mm-hmm. or, you know, to Shasta County or to Reading is a very, very, very old narrative when it comes, like, you know, people have been saying that they've been busing in, you know, like major cities like Portland.
Yeah.
Antifa, you know, bust in from Portland and from Seattle and from San Francisco. But all of that is perpetuated right from the top, back when it was, they're not sending us their best.
Right.
And then that has filtered down through
yep.
to the person on the street. Now, the person on the street posts a video like that, and in Shasta mm-hmm. County, it filters up through local government and then becomes some sort of policy out of nowhere.
Yep.
Now, this is just my total guess, you guys, but because I work with refugees a little bit, I can probably tell you that bus probably had refugees in it, and they probably were headed somewhere else, and they probably mm-hmm. stopped for a break, because they do not drop them off in Shasta County. We don't have resources available for them. There are plenty of great resources in other counties, but I guarantee they were not just dropping them off and abandoning them here. That's
no, absolutely
opinion.
Not. It's like, because Reading is a 3-hour stretch from literally everywhere. 3 hours from Reno, 3 hours from Oregon, 3 hours from the coast, 3 hours from San Francisco or Sacramento.
However,
so there has to, yeah.
If we did have funding for them, which they were also refusing in this policy, and this is my liberal view shining through. But if we accepted funding to help refugees, we would, guess what, have some pretty amazing people in our community, because refugees are some of the hardest working, goal-seeking, amazing human beings that I know. So let's spread that narrative, because that is the truth, including my grandfather, who I talked about at the board meeting that day, who is a refugee from the 70s who served in our military for his full entire career and became a huge upstanding citizen, worked in our jail also, in Hubble County, actually, but not here, but still, I mean,
yeah.
So we would like to take some calls for our first time ever. Be nice to us people a little bit. Give us a break. But if you want to call in and chat with us again about something that is, you know,
constructive.
Yeah, constructive. Please do.
Based in reality.
Yeah. We would love to talk with you. And oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I can't see it. Can you tell them the number?
I think it says 605-4567. 4567. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good number.
I'm colorblind, and it's written in red.
We welcome diverse perspectives, but advocating extremism isn't conducive to meaningful discourse, so that's not what we're about. We do want to chat, so call in and talk to us.
530-605-4566. Okay.
66.
Oh, we were just corrected. 4566.
Oh, whoops. Our bad.
Okay. What were you going to say, Ashley, while we're waiting?
Oh, while we're waiting, I would like to add that at this Board of Supervisors meeting, they did vote in to give themselves a raise.
Oh, yeah.
So they're now going to get $78,000 and some change and a $5,000, is it a $5,000 a year vehicle stipend, which I can be cool with that, just because car maintenance these days is no joke.
I'm not cool with it. I'm just going to say I'm not cool with it, because they didn't want to give their employees a decent raise to be able to survive and have a livable wage. So I think they should take that $35,000 that they're spending on their Employee Appreciation Day and give, you know, double that and make that their raise, or split that amongst them, because you're only as good as what you offer your people. So I was not happy about that at all.
No, I'm not happy about them giving themselves if they wanted to just give themselves just the vehicle allowance, that was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But absolutely not the cost of living.
What was their justification for their raise? Well,
because every other, it was like and based on averages of county, you know, like counties, and you know, the cost of living increase and everything else. But like, their argument is there hasn't been a cost of living or any sort of increase for the Board of Supervisors position in 20 years. Well, none of them have been serving on the board for 20 years.
Right.
So it's not them that have been slighted by any means. But maybe if they had, like, this is the cost of living increase, and it will come into effect January 1st, 2025.
Yeah, that would have been okay.
And a percentage, like this, you know, some this year and some the following year and some the following year, just kind of like a ramp up. And then also at the same time, bring back to the table discussing some sort of wage increase.
We do have a caller.
Yay!
Hello, caller? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, who's this?
Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. So I'm just calling about the prize. Am I the first caller?
Looks like you are.
I'm like, what's the prize?
No.
I wasn't made aware of the prize.
I just wanted to call honestly and just say that I've been listening, and you guys are doing a great job. Just the breakdown of everything, you know, I think there's been a lot of people that might have been somehow expecting you to say things, you know, or be a way, you know, that they fear that you are. But I think you guys are doing a great job at representing what a lot of us are, is we're just people.
Right.
You know, people too. And we have our beliefs, but we do have the ability to get along and respect someone else's ideologies. And you guys are just, I think this is a great a great start for this, and yeah, I don't want to waste too much time, but thank you guys for doing this, and I want to watch and listen to, like, every episode.
Thanks, Nathan. We appreciate you calling in and all the nice comments.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
He made a good point because we are more alike than we think. You know, we're most of us are, like I said, in the middle, and we, you know, as liberals in Shasta County, as a liberal, I'll say, I'm going to speak for myself here. I have a lot more conservative values than people might think. For example,
we'll talk about that after break because we've got to go to break again.
Do we? Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. We have to have a break. When we come back, we'll talk about how we are not that liberal.
Life is always easier when we make good decisions. Taking care of your vehicle with regular maintenance is a smart decision that will save you money. Going to Premier Oil Change for regular maintenance is another great decision and an easy way to maintain your new car warranty. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Come experience fast drive-through service with no appointment required. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. And in Anderson, across from Roundtable, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Run fast for your mother.
Hello, we are back. We came back to a caller on the line. Randy, go ahead. Hi, Randy.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey, fine. Am I on air?
You're on the air. What would you like to chat about?
Thank you. I'm happy to see to listen to your program. I'm happy you're all doing this. From my perspective, I've been to a lot of supervisors meetings too, and in our community, there's just, you know, it's a lot of chaos and a lot of conflict that goes on, and it's a lot over information, and conflicting information.
Right.
And so I think that it should be in the best interest of us all to have accurate information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in our collective best interest, you know. If it boils down where the information that is revealed is not something I like, well, I shouldn't be interested in that. I want to make sure that the information is accurate. Are there busloads of Mexicans or whoever being dumped off in our community? We need to look at the evidence and come to conclusions. Or if we're all being cheated out of our votes, we need to know that too. If we're not, we need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that we all just, you know, this hopefully this program will open up conversations to where, you know, we will all be more interested in just getting to the facts because it's in our best interest.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Thank you for saying that.
So thanks for the show.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. Yeah, bye.
All right. So back to our point. He made some good points. Facts are important to him. And I think they're important to the majority of us as well. Mm-hmm. So we hope we can bring some of that clarification to our show as well.
Can we talk about how we're not that liberal
yeah,
now?
Yeah, let's talk about how we're not that liberal.
You threw that out there before break, and now we gotta come through.
Yeah. So Carl Bott, I keep quoting him on this because I thought it was hilarious, but he said that Shasta County, a Shasta County liberal man has two handguns and three rifles. So essentially he's saying that Shasta County liberals aren't that liberal. And I actually tend to agree with him. Mm-hmm. When I moved here, I was fully aware that I was moving to a conservative community. I embraced that. The majority of my friends, I would say 70% of them are conservative because that's who lives here. Luckily, us liberal people have a good, we're also friends. We've come together a lot more in the last couple of years. But I think we all share some of the same values. We all have a commitment to, liberty. We believe in our families. We believe in self-reliance. I've worked since I was 15 years old. I've never been on unemployment in my life.
Yep, me too. Started working at 15 and at the Hallmark store.
Yeah, that's one of the big lies about liberals is that we're all moochers and we all want everyone else's money, which is not the case. I've worked my entire life, multiple jobs, multiple businesses. I mean, I completely support myself and my family.
We have another caller, Jess. I think, maybe this person's going to...
We have a caller who is nameless, so let's talk to a nameless caller.
Oh, nameless. It's RV Shine.
Oh, hey, RV.
RV. What's
Hi.
Up?
Hey. Oh, not much. You guys sound great.
Thank you.
I got an echo on my cell phone, but you don't have an echo, do you?
Nope. Nope.
Okay, good. I you were talking at the beginning about like how you got all started because you were just like confused about these decisions that people make.
Right.
I think I sort of coined this phrase recently, micro mismanagement. It's a MAGA feature, not a bug. And mismanagement is what these guys do. And I think Shay just, full disclosure, I know both Shay and Jessica as trusted sources for stories I've written for a news cafe. And just recently involving the Anderson Union High School district board's decisions and stuff, and it's like micro mismanagement, like a perfunctory thing that comes up for approval is like some great umbrage.
Yeah, it's that conspiracy, right? Like where everything has to have some ulterior, weird, deep state motive.
Right, yeah, and sometimes related to whatever the recent pop psychology bestseller is. And these people are getting, there's an entire apparatus in this town that supports it, and, it's pretty well financed. So, and just so the thing about the micro mismanagement and making bad decisions, like, whoever that guy is they hired for the health director now, whoever, they're going to hire some clown for the elections.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Like, I have my own
Because
theory.
They want to burn it down.
Right.
It's about power to them. They don't care. They'll make decisions no matter how many experts tell them to do the other thing. And just expect the worst because that's what's coming.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the positive uplifting call there, RV.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're joking. It's our reality.
We feel you.
Yeah, I watched the soup meeting out of the side of my eye today, and I just looking at the agenda. I mean, there's all that legal stuff and the closed session thing. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some repercussions coming from out of there, what's her name? She spoke today, gosh darn it. the woman that has her stuff together.
The woman who has her stuff together. There's so few of them.
I was telling her, it's Don Duckett, yeah, right? No, I was telling her the other day, sensible people stand out nowadays. And she's totally sensible. And, you know, there's some shenanigans going on with these closed session things. And we'll see what we can find out.
I am glad they did decide to have the interviews in public. So we will, that will be, you know, as transparent as possible. We'll see what happens there.
Sadly, I don't think that matters.
I don't think it matters either.
I find it really hard to go to those meetings because I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut. I just start screaming and shaking my head. And, but, yeah, it's easier watching it on the video.
Well, thank you for calling, RV. We're actually almost done, so we need to wrap this up. But thank you so much.
Excellent.
And call next week.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I left you a note under your computer there.
Oh,
yay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we're actually running out of time already. I can't believe this went by so fast. Ashley, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, time goes by super fast.
I know you can't hear when we have a caller, so that kind of stinks, right?
It's okay. I just turned the stream on online. And I got that little bit of a delay, but it's okay. I can still get
it. Okay, very cool. So we're talking a little bit about how we're not that liberal. And I gave my ideas, you know.
About how you're not that liberal?
Yeah, I think that some of our political stances are going to be different, but I think that we all value the same thing. Obviously, I value this country. My whole career has been spent bringing people from around the world to visit our country and to learn about our culture, promoting public diplomacy. I have a whole entire family full of veterans that I respect highly. My great-grandfather was killed in World War II, so that's why I'm anti-war. That's where it derived from, because I saw what his death did to my grandmother and her family and then our generations. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So, you know.
That's kind of where my not-so-liberal side comes in as well. I was raised by – I give my father credit for who I am and take me or leave me. Mm-hmm. I give credit to him mostly, and he's a Vietnam veteran. And it was his insight into war that – and the destruction that causes, generational destruction, and coming back and being treated very poorly by the Americans that he fought for, and then trying to find a place in this world. So he reached out to his church and was denied entry into Shasta Bible College because he had a beard and long hair. Mm. And so that kind of changed the direction of our lives, from a super conservative family into a not so conservative family, that started looking out just for each other and humanity as a whole. And my dad takes huge offense to, people who call themselves patriots and don't act as such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He thinks that, you know, standing up for the pledge doesn't make you a patriot.
Nope. And actually, recently, I refused to stand up for the pledge at one point because we were in a meeting where the pledge was being used as a political weapon and tool, and I was so offended I wouldn't stand up. And that's not because I don't love my country. It's because people were using it as a tool. Mm-hmm. They're weaponizing our flag to make a political point, and that was not okay with me.
I feel the same way about the way Jesus has been used as a ploy for a lot of these things.
Wow. So we have a lot to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about.
So you guys, our show is already over. I can't believe it. But we will be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. And if you're just now catching on, you can watch the replay. We call it on Facebook. I don't know what it's called on radio. but we'll be posting, the link so you can watch or listen to the show again if you'd like.
And we'll get to listen to all the mistakes we made on our first try.
Yeah. Thank you for bearing with us and, being kind callers tonight. Thank you for not hounding us with, screaming and yelling. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
See you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.